Do you always mean what you say? Every word that comes out of your mouth, do you always mean exactly that? Or sometimes is there another message, an ulterior motive, something else that you probably want to say, but either can't find the words or you just too embarrassed or any number of reasons why we say one thing and do another, or say one thing and mean another, rather. And elsewhere in Scripture, Christ even tells us, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, and everything else is from the evil one. To say what you mean and mean what you say. It is a common characteristic of just living an honest life. And yet, we don't always do so. I wonder if Martha might be doing something similar in our gospel reading today. Now, it does say that she is burdened with much serving. That much is clear. But I wonder if it's really the serving, the work that she is doing, that is first on her mind. If we think 2,000 years ago, let's put on our 2,000-year-old hat and think in terms of the society 2,000 years ago. Here's a man, strange man, not related to either Martha or Mary, that's sitting in their house, getting ready to eat with them. This is the society where the accusation of adultery can land a woman in the midst of a mob of angry men holding stones, ready to kill her. This is the society in which they are living. That's what Martha is aware of. And so perhaps wanting to save a little bit of face, wanting to make sure that if someone happened to look into the window, well, at least the two of them would be together. They wouldn't be with Jesus alone. They would at least all be together. Martha and Mary in the kitchen, Jesus hanging out, waiting to eat in some other room. Now, before we begin to look down our noses at this society, turn on your news. We're not much better. We think all the time about what people think of us. People's opinion of us causes much worry and anxiety in many, if not most, of our hearts. We care what people think. We care what people's opinion of us will lead to. And so Martha, concerned about what people would think, may have actually been saying, Jesus, I mean, come on. Don't you realize how awkward this is? Send Mary into the kitchen with me so all of this will be okay. Don't just sit here with her. You must know how this looks. Now, Jesus says you are anxious and worried about many things. And so it does begin to point out that it's just the serving that's on her mind, but other things as well. I do wonder, perhaps, if we look at this too often with the eyes of thinking that we're being told that we have to sit at the feet of Jesus and that's what we have to do. We can't really do anything else. We have to be there with Jesus 100% all the time. But I do think we'd recognize that eventually they're going to get hungry. The serving does have to be done. The cooking has to be complete. The food has to be put out, and the dinner must be held. Otherwise, well, they'll starve. It's an opportunity, I think, for Martha to have actually said what she meant. To say, Jesus, you know, this looks bad. How about, you come with Mary into the kitchen. How about the three of us do some serving together? How about the three of us cook dinner? How about the three of us sit in the company of one another? I'm sure many, if not all of us, have memories or expectations of cooking a meal with your family, your loved ones, memories of Thanksgiving dinners long ago, where half of the family time is actually in the preparation of the meal. It's an opportunity to see that our lives are meant to be entirely in the presence of Jesus. While we're cooking, while we're working, while we're out running around, always in the presence of Jesus. Doing that which we have to do to make a living, to prepare the food, to simply get along, but always in the presence of Jesus. Let us mean what we say and say what we mean, always doing so, desiring to live our lives entirely with the presence of that divine Son of God right there, even in the midst of our kitchen.